Good morning. We're glad to have all of you that are visiting with us today. Welcome. You're our honored guest. We want you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. And all of you that are members here, it's good to see you today. It's a wonderful Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're trusting, we pray that if you're in our audience this morning, and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you'll turn to the Lord, listen to His will, and that you will obey His truth. So many things are happening in life. And just like yesterday, my great-grandson celebrated his third birthday. Can you believe that? 3 years old, Hudson is. And actually, the birthday is tomorrow, but we celebrated yesterday. They had a bunch of kids there. There was one little girl that was there, pretty little, about 3 years old. And she was sitting over there, and they gave her a piece of cake. And can you imagine? She ate every bit of the icing off of that cake. And I mean, get every bit of it. And naturally, I'm sure she'd like to have another piece. But I'm just amazed. About the time she finished eating it, she fell off the bench. Bless her heart. But you see these kids, and they just bring you such joy to see them. Today, we read about a man that was called by Jesus. Jesus saw Philip. And all he had to do is say, "Philip, follow me." Look at it. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael. Isn't that interesting? Here we find that Jesus calls Philip, and Philip goes out, and he finds Nathanael, and tells Nathanael, "I found him. I have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Boy, when you find Jesus, you want to share him with others, don't you? Philip was just so happy that now he had found the Messiah. Moses speaks about him. The prophets talked about him. And now Philip is out here and Philip is telling Nathanael, "I have found him. I found the Messiah, the promised Son of God. He is here." And Nathanael then makes a remark. Notice what the Bible says. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" That little place over there called Nazareth, is there anything that can come out of that place? And what does Philip tell him? "Come and see." I tell you, I go, and when I'm preaching to other places, I tell them about the church at O'Neill. I tell them about people that make up the body of Christ here. And they'll say, "That's amazing." And I'll tell them, "Come and see." And sometimes some of them will. And I was in a meeting just a couple of weeks ago. And one of the thrilling things, we had three to be restored on Tuesday night. And then I baptized nine on Wednesday night. And I want you to see the picture of those that are baptized. They asked me to baptize. And I hope you can see it clearly. Anyway, here I'm sitting between them after they were baptized, and these young people from 12 to 17. Now I'd done what? They had found Christ. They found the Messiah. And I was so happy to hear later in the week another one was baptized. They're excited. Young people need to learn and obey the gospel. And we have some in our group that need to do the same thing. Yes, just like Nathanael said, "Is any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Ah, Philip said, "You come and you see it." And that's a good example for us, my friends. In the very first place this morning, I want you to observe that the Bible tells us that we ought to come and see the works of God. Look, if you will, in Psalms chapter 66 and verse 5. "Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men." And that word terrible then, I looked at it and I thought, well, wait a minute. So in the New King James Version, it says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. And the Old King James Version, speaking of the fact that here God has done something, God is terrible in the sense of being awesome. He's great. Come and see what God has done. Behold, what God hath done. Let's just look. First of all, look what God has done for all of us. He has made the church. His Son came and purchased the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when they were asked, the disciples said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did they do in verse 41? Then they that gladly received the word was baptized. Come and see the work of God. What is He said about baptism? About the church? Where you can be in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ are added by God to that body upon their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later on in that same chapter in Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church. Whom did He add? Those that were being saved. Were anybody in the church who was not saved? No. Where do you find salvation? In Christ. In the body of Christ, being doing what He says, and everybody that does what He tells them to do, they're added by the Lord to His kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Somebody says, oh, you don't have to be baptized. You don't need to be baptized. Preacher, why do you preach? Tell people to be baptized. The Lord says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How can an individual get into the church that God has designed? Jesus purchased with His own blood. Friend, you're not in this with the saved if you have not been baptized into that body. Yes, in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Ephesians 2, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile. That's a beautiful statement. That He may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, even to them that were not. God is saying here through Paul, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile, you can be in that one body. You can become a member of the Lord's kingdom. Look at the work of God. Come and see. No wonder in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whom did He die for? For us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Why? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've been saved. We've been added. We're in the kingdom of God. Come and see the great work of God. Come and see, number two, God's glory in that kingdom. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me tell you, you can't ask of God. We can't ask of God without realizing when we believe, and if it's God's will, we're going to receive it. Look what He's saying. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory. What? Be glory. What? Be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Behold the glory of God in the reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles, in the fact that we can be in the kingdom, the church that Jesus died for. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. Notice, if you will, this is the church for which Jesus is the Savior. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. What's He going to do? He's going to save. Whom's He going to save? Those in the body. What is the body? It's the church. How do you get into the church? You're baptized into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Behold, come and see the glory of God in what He has done for all of us. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 18, Isaiah says, "For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see My glory." The manifestation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ before the world attests to the fact that Christ's church is glorious in God's sight. We want to see the glory in God's precious Word. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. When we are His people, and this manifests the glory of God, come and see. Come and see the glory of God manifested on the cross, where Jesus went all the way to die for sinners such as you and I. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should experience death for every man. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." The glory of God manifested where? On the cross. He died. Jesus. He's our Lord, our Savior. We want people to see the glory of God in how He changes people. Isn't it wonderful to see people repent of their lives, turn to God and obey Him? People who have been drinking alcohol and been maybe engaged in, but then they give it all up. Why? When they meet the Master, when they understand the Messiah. People who are addicted to drugs, people who are addicted to pornography, people who are engaged in all kinds of sin, when they see the glory of God manifested in the death of Jesus Christ and what God can do for you and for me, that person can then lead a good... Take, for example, Paul. You can't find a greater sinner than Paul when he was younger. As a matter of fact, he makes that claim. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to do what? To save sinners. If you're a sinner, He came to save you. What kind of a sinner? It doesn't make any difference. He was willing to die for you. He persecuted, Saul did, the church. He made havoc of it. He held men and women, brought them before the council. Yes, He was the man that was standing there holding the clothes of those that stoned Stephen, Acts chapter 7. But something changed. On His way to Damascus, there was a bright light that shined down from heaven, and out of that, the voice of Jesus. Can you imagine meeting Jesus and Jesus saying to you, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What? From heaven, in a bright light, he heard. He heard the voice of Christ. And the voice of Christ was, why are you persecuting me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And when Jesus said, I am Jesus. I want to tell you something, friends. Yes, he trembled. When he was told to go to Damascus and it'll be told you what to do. When Ananias came to him, one of the first things that Ananias told him to do was to be baptized. And people say, you don't have to be baptized. Saul was told that he was a chosen vessel. And Ananias said to him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Call in on the name of the Lord. Are you listening to me this morning, friend? Come and see what God can do for the meanest man in the world. For the chief of sinners. Now he who persecuted those of disciples, he himself is the individual that is persecuted. Galatians 1, verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Ah, what Christ can do, what God can do. He can change people. Yes, he can move a person from being a lukewarm Christian to one that is all fired up for Jesus Christ. Ready now to serve the Lord. Making no excuses. Why? Because he's wanting to be in the kingdom of God just like Philip. To find someone like Nathaniel and to tell them, come and see what I have found. I found the Messiah. How God can touch our hearts, and then we want to be more like Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. How God can heal our sick and return them to actively serving the Lord. Matt, you had a good prayer this morning, Matt Taylor. You prayed for Charlie. We love him. He's been seriously sick. Got to come back, and now he's back sick again. I don't think a day goes by that everybody here is praying for him and praying for all of our sick. Why? We know what God can do. Come and see. Look. Observe. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And let me tell you something. Don't you ever give up on anybody. Come and see. What did Paul say about his own brethren? Was he concerned about them? Yes. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He was praying for people to be saved. He had pointed out, here are my people, I'm praying. I'm praying for my people. I'm praying that they that are lost now might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I've got family members that I just pray for all the time. Members that have quit serving the Lord. People who are no longer faithful. Some who've never obeyed the gospel. Come and see what God can do. Pray for them. Call them and call their names before God. And let me tell you, what can He do for America? What can He do for a people that seemingly now is going straight, constantly away from God? Let me let you listen to what God says. If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves. Do what? Humble themselves. And they pray and seek My face. And if they will turn from their wicked ways, we need this broadcaster of the world. It's in God's book. It's a promise made then. It's a promise now. May that God will still bless those who will turn to Him. Look what He says. Then will I hear from heaven. What, Lord? I'll hear them. Where are You? I'm in heaven. What will You do? Forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. And look at verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. What a principle. God is saying, turn. Turn back to Me. No wonder in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to all them that turn from God. Come and see. Come and see Jesus, the Son of God. And I ask you, what's God done for you? I tell you, I thought about just trying to make a list. And you know, when it's hard for you to get up and walk around, and when life, you just have to deal with the best you can. Do you turn to God? You ask God to help you? I think it was Geraldine that gave me this poem. It's entitled, Just One Step. As I walked down life's road one day, a mountain rose to block my way. I couldn't go around. You see, the path was narrow, and it was closed to me. I asked the Lord, how shall I climb? His response, just one step, He said at a time. How can I scale that awesome height? Look up, said He. You'll do all right. I took some steps and it was great. I'd go right up and celebrate. And then I looked down and I slipped and fell. Get up, said He. You're doing well. So once again, I started up. The road is steep and sometimes rough. But near the top, the way is smooth. And there I'd find a well-worn groove. I'll reach the top one day and then stand. Survey the view that's truly grand. The Lord waits there and all my friends, my family too. Love never ends. Now I look up and I can see the hand my Lord holds out to me. So carefully each day I climb. Just one step I take at a time. That's powerful. One step today, Lord. Help me. Help me to make it through this day. Some of you are doing that. Begging God to help you just today. He is. He's your friend. You have brothers and sisters who care for you. Come and see the beauty of our God who loves us and cares for us so much. And then the poet writes, should you go first and I remain to walk the road alone? I'll live in memory's garden dear with happy days we've known. In spring, I'll wait for roses red when faded the lilacs blue. In early fall, when brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first and I remain for battle to be fought, each thing you've touched along the way will be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice. I'll see your smile, though blindly I may grope. The memory of your helping hand will bio me on with hope. Should you go first and I remain, one thing I'll have you do, walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. I want to know each step you take, so I may take the same. For someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name. Life, it's lived, and life comes to an end. Nathaniel found something so important whenever he did come and see. When Philip said, I found the Messiah, he is the one that Moses wrote about. He is the one that the prophets told us about. I found him. Come and see. And when he did, he saw the Master. I'm asking you this morning to come and see. See the works of God, the glory of God, the church of the Lord, and what He's done for others in the manifestation of His goodness to us all. Make a list. Write down all the benefits and the things you have from God. You'll be amazed at all the blessings that you have from God. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to be in the kingdom of God. I'd be baptized in a second for you. I'd walk down that aisle if I could. But that's the decision you made, a decision I made, a decision those 9 young people made on October the 12th, Penny's birthday. I'll always be reminded of that. I want to tell you what, friend, what decision you're going to make now when the Lord says, come and see. If you're not a Christian, won't you obey the gospel? And if you are a Christian and you're not ready to meet the Lord face to face, won't you obey Him right now while together we stand and while we sing?